word of God is being preached. We love our children so much. Amen. But you know, if they're going to distract the word of the Lord being preached, then that's not a good thing. Stay with your children. Amen. Are we going to do that? Are we going to do that, church? Are we going to do that? Yes. God bless you so much. I want to take this opportunity to welcome my friend, Pastor Karanja, to come to the microphone. He's going to speak to us. He's going to minister to us this day. And can you welcome him with a hand, please? Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Amen. One time I was so distressed. I was on the verge of giving up, but I don't know for what. I'm going to know sometimes you want to give up, but you don't know what you're giving up for. I was so distressed and I was so discouraged. And I went to see my friend. And I started talking to my friend. And my friend told me a story which actually made me think, well, I was distressed, but this guy was somewhere else. And he told me of how he had become a madman, and they had taken him to the asylum. And when he was in the asylum, he remembered there came a woman who was preaching. Hello. Testing, testing. There was a woman who came preaching, and he told me he couldn't remember what she was talking about, but he remembered one thing. At the end of her preaching, she had a song, and she sang a song. And he told me that is the song that ministered to him. And when I looked at him and I wondered, this man is telling me he was in an asylum. Have you ever been to a place where mad people are? It's horrible. It's not the best of places. So he gave me this song. He told me, my friend, I'm going to give you this song because this is the only way I can help you in this situation. And to tell you the truth, it's a song that I always remember and I hold dear and I keep close to my heart because it ministers to me when I'm confronted with the mountains of life. Every time I see the situation is too difficult for me, I sing that song and God comes through and helps me. Amen. Every time I'm confronted with a challenge, like the challenge I'm facing right now, you may not see it, I feel like singing this song. And I want you to listen. Just sit back and enjoy my singing today. I want to sing this song to you because I feel somebody somewhere is discouraged and he or she needs some form of encouragement. It's a song I was taught by a Tanzanian. You might find the language in the song is Kiswahili Sanifu. So just know I learned this song from a Tanzanian who was a mad person in Muhimbiri. Muhimbiri is the place like Mathare in our country, Kenya, where they take the mad people. And that time, we were in the Southern African region, and he was a pastor. And we were in a Bible school when we were sharing all this. So just sit back and listen to this song. It's in Swahili, okay?
Kila siku napenda kufanya kama Mungu anavyopenda. Siku moja nitamwona Yesu. yeye ndiye mfalme mkuu, natangaza habari za Yesu, jinsi alivyonitafuta kama kondoo aliyepotea, na kusema njoo kwangu.
The other one, the other stanza, sorry. What's the other one? I didn't write it. It's in, it just comes to my spirit. Nikifanya mapenzi ya Mungu hadi mwishoni mwa safari, atanikaribisha biguni na kunipa thawabu yangu. Mara nyingi humu duniani naona shida na huzuni, huko juu hakuna majonzi, ni furaha ta milele. Mara nyingi humu duniani naona shida na huzuni, huko juu hakuna majonzi, ni furaha hata milele. The chorus. Nikimaliza kazi yangu na kumkuta Mwokozi wangu, atanikaribisha biguni na kunipa thawabu yangu. Nikimaliza kazi yangu na kumkuta Mwokozi wangu, atanikaribisha biguni na kunipa thawabu yangu. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful this morning for your goodness and your faithfulness. Even when we doubt ourselves, when we fail ourselves, you are always faithful to us. Mighty God, we lift your name in our midst. And we thank you because we have not come here because of our own agenda. We have not come here because of man's agenda. We have come here because of only one thing, the name of Jesus. We lift up the name of Jesus in our midst. And we thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit who guides us and leads us to all truth and understanding. This morning, we surrender to your leadership, Holy Spirit. We surrender to your counsel. And we surrender to everything that God has for us this morning. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that declares better things for each and every one of us, and that gives us boldness to approach your throne this very morning. We are so grateful to you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Sorry about my singing. Sometimes I get lost because I'm not really a singer, you know. Yeah. So I say I'm a preacher, but I'm not really very much of a singer. But I can sing if I want to. But I choose to be a preacher instead of singing. Yes. This morning, I want to bring some attention to a very important portion of our lives. That's very important. And before then, I just want to mention a few things. We came to this church towards the end of 2011 with my wife. And remember, before Christmas, when we started the Principal Doctrines series. And by this time last year, we were still talking about the Principal Doctrines of Christ. How many still remember that? And we were to move on to meet. The Bible said that was the beginning point, right? We were to move on to quality meat because that's the starting point. Knowing about the doctrines of baptisms, the laying on of hands, the repentance from bad works, and all those other doctrines that are associated with the principal doctrines of Christ is the beginning point. We are supposed to move on. We were supposed to have covered sanctification. We have supposed to be covered righteousness, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the grace, and other stuff like the principle of being more and all the other things. There are so many things that are in the kingdom of God we need to learn. Amen. When Pastor asked me to share this morning, I was in war within myself, and I was saying, what do I share this morning? Do I continue from where I left off? Do I bring on something quite different? And God prevailed upon me, and this morning I'm going to speak about something totally different. But it's in line with everything all wrapped up. Amen. How many people know, even when you hear a message from wherever, the 10 principles, the 20 principles, everything ties up to Christ. Everything ties up to Christ. The reason why all those people talk about 10 principles of doing this and 20 principles of doing that and whatever they say is because at the end of it ties up to Christ. It's because of Christ. It's what he did that means the most to every one of us. I remember one time when we were in Kenya, we were renting in one part of Nairobi, and we were staying with a very harsh landlady. And me and my wife, we had a TV, we had a fridge in our house, and our kids were very small. And she used to come sneaking and looking whether our TV was on, our fridge was on. Every time she would come into the house to see whether the fridge was on. Because we were not supposed to put the fridge on because the grid she had for the power was not going to allow the fridge to be on. But we were still going to put it on anyway because we want to put food there for the kids and all that stuff. So things came to a head on one time and we had to leave. And in the process of the altercation that was there between us and the landlady, we knew she was kind of trying to not to give us our deposit. How many know in Kenya you have to pay a deposit for the house, you know? So she went and got a friend of hers, a very composed lady, very quiet, you know. She's not the kind of lady who talks much. She's quiet and composed and in control of her emotions. And we were sitting down and we were talking about why we should be given our deposit. Because she was saying she was not going to give us the deposit. And in the process, things got heated up. And this lady was trying to calm everybody down. And but we sensed with my wife, this lady is not going to give us the money. And we did not pursue the issue the way it should be pursued, but we blew up. And we say, you can stay with your money. We can stay with the money. We don't need the money. Bra, bra, bra. Hey, you are a thief. Hey. That's what the lady was looking for. And we stormed out. How many know that's not wise? We lost money. That wasn't wisdom. We lost the money. We could have argued intelligently and countered her every argument, and we would have gotten the money. How many know that's what we lacked wisdom that day, right? So, in the course of my life, I have looked at issues and situations where wisdom is required. And I have always dug deep within myself and come up with a situation with the right prescription for that particular situation. And today, I want to share with you some of the things that are crucial in our lives. Because as I look around, I see a lot of young mothers. I see a lot of young husbands, young fathers. And we see, and there will be a lot of issues as you raise our children here in this country. How many know this is a different terrain altogether? We were raised up surrounded by our aunts and our uncles and our cousins and our grandfathers and our grandmothers. But we are raising kids here in a different terrain. This is a different terrain altogether. You are not going to see your aunt coming early in the morning just to say hi. You won't see your uncle coming just to find out how you are doing. you are out there on your own. So the principles that we need to apply here are a little bit different from how we were raised up, where we were raised up. Amen. Today, I want to talk about the power of a good counsel. Amen. The power of a good counsel. Yeah, that particular day when we were arguing with the landlady, I pointed out we lacked good counsel because we lost money that day, and I remembered it from that day on. And from that time, I knew that's not the way to handle issues. A man by the name of Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, he was an artist, he was a writer, he was a poet. Those are the people in the 17th century, 18th century. He was born in 1749 and he died in 1832. We have in Nairobi an institute called Goethe. It's an art gallery. It's Goethe Institute. It's an art gallery. If you know about art, you go to Nairobi, ask where it is. Go see the works of art. This man was an artist, but he was also a politician. He was a writer. He was a poet. The people in those days invested so much in education. They would study a lot of stuff because this head can assimilate a lot of knowledge. But we don't give it enough today. We don't give it enough today. When you are an engineer, that's it. I'm done. Out of school, my master's, that's it. If you are a doctor, that's all you do. You know, these people went beyond. They would become a doctor, an engineer, an architect. Somebody like Leonardo da Vinci. You read his biography, you wonder what you're doing in school with your one degree. That man had, his resume was from here to there. Achievements, great achievements. He worked as a designer. He could design a bridge. He could design a building and draw it to perfection. He could draw like the Mona Lisa. He could draw it and other things. He was a politician. He could lead people. I mean, these people, they invested so much into this head that we don't invest much in these days. Think the computer age. But we can invest more. The same brain they had is what we have today. We can invest more in this head. So this man said, to accept good advice is but to increase one's own ability. That's what he said. To accept good advice is but to increase one's own ability. Because it's one thing to hear of a good advice, it's another thing to accept it. Because you will hear many advices, but it's up to you to accept the advice. So, you have to have a receptive mind. And then in this life, there are mentors. There are people who have gone beyond before you. They know the terrain better. They have been in the trenches of life. They have been to the university of life itself. And they have seen it. And you are coming along and you are headed in the same direction they were 10 years back or 20 years ago, 20 years back. And you're going to make the same mistakes. But if you find a mentor who has been there, a mentor who has been there, you don't have to make those mistakes because he's going to tell you, son, I have been that way and that's not the way to go about it here at this time. You need to do it this way and that way and that way. So mentors are very important in this life and it's very important to understand that. So today I want to go to our scripture starts with the book of Exodus chapter 18. Let's go there. Exodus chapter 18. To understand what's all this about counsel, what's this about wisdom, what's this about advice, what is it that the Bible says about that? Like I always say, let scripture interpret what? Scripture. Let the Bible speak to us this morning on this subject. I'm not coming here with the wisdom of Wolfgang God. That's a quotation I just made because he mentioned that particular quotation came from him. So let's see what the Bible says. Numbers 18. No, Exodus. Exodus 18. The book of Exodus 18. We are going to see a very interesting man there by the name of Jethro. Jethro was Moses' father-in-law. And he was the priest of where? Midian.
I don't know where Midian, what was it about Midian and priesthood, but I don't know. I assume he was a priest of the Most High God. I don't know. Because the Bible doesn't say much about his priesthood. Because the children of Israel were the ones who were carrying the tabernacle, the whole council of God at that time. And the priests were, Aaron was the priest there, you know? And they were now in the wilderness. Let's see what happens here. I'm going to read from verse 1, and I'll try to read very fast because we have like 20 minutes, and you know I keep my time. And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. He heard. That's from verse 1. So he went to Moses. And then we're going to jump to verse 13. And so it was on the next day that Moses, Exodus 18:13 now, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Behold," he said, "because the people come to me to inquire of God. I'm a man of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws." So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good." What? Moses thought he was, you know, talking about he was, you know, bringing the counsel of God to the people, and they have to stand and hear. So Jethro, his father-in-law, said, "The thing you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice." He's now telling Moses, "Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel." And this is the first time this word counsel appears in the Bible. The law of the first mention. "And God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all of the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers and of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." That's a model of leadership. "And let them judge the people at all times." Now, this is very interesting. Here is somebody who doesn't talk face to face with God like Moses was doing, right? Moses was speaking with God face to face on behalf of the people. And God was not telling Moses, "This is the model of leadership you need to follow. You need to put these people in under 50, under 100, under thousands, and this model of leadership will work best for you." God never gives any one man everything he needs. Why? Because God has many people. In the course of things, Jethro shows up, a father-in-law from Midian. And probably he wasn't even coming to do much. He was just coming to see his son-in-law. He wasn't coming to give him advice. He did not plan and say, "I'm going to Moses and advise him, because I hear he's not doing the right thing." No. He just came, and then he observed. What's this? Moses is sitting down and it's 8. And then midday. What? Moses is still sitting down. The people are still studying. It's midday. And then in the evening, he sees Moses is still telling people, "Oh, you go, I can't see now. It's darkness now. Please go." People are still standing before him. And he wondered, "What's this now?" And he goes to Moses and asks him, "Hey, what's this thing you're doing?" He had already known what he was doing, but he's asking, "What form of leadership is this? What kind of leadership is this you're giving me, you're showing the people?" And he says, "I stand before God, and they come to me so that I can give them the counsel of God." But Jethro gave him what? The model of leadership that was going to benefit him. And from that moment on, his ministry expanded all the more. He became a better reader, right? So counsel comes to your life not to, sometimes it comes to discomfort you, but it's what is required for you to move to the next level. Amen. I'm talking about the issues of life. I'm talking about the things that can confront you as a young parent. The things that can confront a young church like this. The thing that can confront many things in our lives. What we need the most is the right counsel. You can do everything else, but if the counsel is wrong, you cannot succeed. You will not succeed. And you'll be left wondering, how come everybody is succeeding, I'm not? How come these people, they bought a house, I've never bought a house? How come they have a nice car, I don't have a nice car? And I'm still working 24/7. I'm still working 3 jobs. I've never bought a new car. People are buying new cars. You need a new counsel. There is a counsel that you need to use to apply to your financial life. Amen. These are the wisdoms of life. So we're going to look at the examples from the Bible of counsel that has been applied and has either helped people or not helped people. Let's go to Numbers 31. Numbers 31, very quickly. Now, we are going quickly. We're going to go fast. Numbers 31. I'm going to read verse 16, Numbers 31. The book after Leviticus. Numbers 31. I'm going to read verse 16. Look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. This was an incident that happened. And the cause of this incident is the counsel of one man called Balaam. The counsel of one man. It caused the children of Israel to die 24,000 in one day. One counsel of one man. One man. One man's counsel. That's the power of counsel. Counsel is everything in life. Your life depends on counsel, the counsel you receive. Your success depends on the counsel you receive. Because the right counsel will lead you to the right place. The wrong counsel will lead you to the wrong direction. This is an incident and an example from the Bible where counsel misled the people. If you read this whole account and you read the context about this, you see how the children of Israel had come to the grove of Acacia and they started, you know, cohabiting with the Moabite women. And that's how this whole thing came about. And the Lord told Moses to go and avenge himself because they started worshiping Baal. And God told Moses, I want you to raise an army and send them out to go and avenge to avenge me. And when these people went, they did not kill the people they were supposed to kill. They looked for the best things, and they came them to Moses. They were coming to Moses with those things. And Moses had told them to not to. So Moses came outside the camp and met them there. And he said, what is this you're doing? And it was a whole thing. But the thing is, we're not going to go into all those. We want to see the council led people to do the wrong things. The whole people. And many people died. Council can make people die. The wrong council can kill people. It can kill your dreams. It can kill so many things in your life. Now we go to another book, 2 Samuel 15. 2 Samuel 15. We're going to look at another man there, 2 Samuel 15. 2 Samuel 15. 15, we're going to read. The whole chapter talks about the treason of Absalom against his father David. And then there is and then in verse 12, the Bible says, then Absalom, 2 Samuel 15, verse 12, then Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, from Gilo, where he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy grew strong, for the people with Absalom continually increased in number. This is powerful stuff here. Absalom is plotting to destroy his father. And the first thing he does is he gets his father's counselor. That's how scheming for power starts. In politics, in every other place, you gotta get the right people to give you the right counsel. Amen. And that's why you see when Obama moves, there are people around him. And you read his history, you'll find there was a time he tried for election, he lost. But there are account that certain people came into his life and his political diagram changed. It changed completely because they brought a superior counsel to his life. He is a great orator, but to plan everything that he has planned, he needed advice, counselors. Suppose they came and told him, this is what you need to do, Senator. And he said, oh, get lost. I have this thing, you know, under my palm. I'm going to get it. I am an orator. I can be able to convince people. Yes, you can convince people, but you need counsel. You need advice. So this is a man who was a counselor for David. And Absalom, for him to plot for power, he goes for him. The first thing he does when he comes to Jerusalem is he sends for him. Can you go get that man? And this man comes. And what does the Bible say about this man? In chapter 16? It says about his counsel those days. It says, now verse 16, chapter 16, we see, meanwhile, Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with them. And so it was. Now look at verse 16 now. And it was when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, that Hushai said to Absalom, long live the king, long live the king. This is now in answer to everything. Let's find something here that happens before this. We're going to go back a little bit to find what happened between David and so that he can send Hushai back to. Because all this is all in the council. It is all the whole thing is right here. You find if you read all this, you'll find a lot of interesting things. That in verse 15:30 it says, so David went up to the ascent of Mount Olives and wept as he went up, and he had his head covered and went barefoot, and all the people who were with him covered their heads and went up weeping as they went up. Now Absalom has taken over the palace, and David is going to the mountain. Then someone told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. David was given this crucial information when he is going up the mountain. And the Bible says, David said, oh Lord, I pray. He did not say, what? He's with them? No, he knew the gravity of that information. And he said, oh Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. That was his prayer right there. That's how he countered that. Because he knew the counsel of this man will surely destroy me. He knew that. Absalom had done a very smart thing. Because he had gone for the, he was like they say, you go for the jugular vein, you know. He had gone for everything. When he called for Ahithophel, he knew, I'm going to choke this man now. David is gone, his father. And David knew. That's why when he was told, he did not start saying, what? I can't believe that. That man has been with me like for 10 years. How can he go with, you know, he did not lament. Sometimes when it comes to counsel, you don't put emotions into the situation. Sometimes just listen. Listen. And then
dig deep and come up with something that is godly. So David said, oh Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And then David tells Hushai to go back to Jerusalem and help defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And then we see in Ahithophel, in chapter 16, let's see what. Because there is the place. So Hushai said to Absalom, yes, this is now, you see, now Absalom had gotten very wise counsel from Ahithophel. But Hushai, who was sent by David, also came. And now Absalom is asking him for advice, because God is now said to turn the counsel into foolishness. There is a time a counsel can be turned into foolishness, but you need to seek God for that. So we see that's an example of counsel that can be positive and negative. This man, Ahithophel, the Bible doesn't say much about him, except he was David's counselor. There are people who are meant to assist others in this life, but they may not have a big name. There may be some people out there that you don't even know. You may hear about them. You may actually, sometimes you can hear somebody saying something, and that information is for you that's going to help you in your life. You know, one time we were used to live in Kenya. We were so broke. We didn't have any money. And then we had some information that helped us to leave Kenya and go out. You know, when we had that information, it was not intended for us. We had it by default. But we acted on it. And by acting on it, we left Kenya. And from there, we ended up here. We came here in America not because we won a green card. No, we applied for the green card when we were outside the U.S. and we got it. Because there was a council involved in everything. We got information. We were helped by somebody from Malawi with information. How to do everything like that. And we listened. So there is always a systematic way that you can move and progress in life by not struggling much, but by seeking the right counsel. Amen. Sometimes we struggle with so many things. We push so hard, but all you need is the right counsel. You just need the right counsel to do that thing. Sometimes you don't need to fast and pray to do some things. Sometimes you just need to act on the right counsel. Many things don't need prayer and fasting. The only time that Jesus said to his disciples, this thing requires prayer and fasting, is when they were casting out what? The demons. Why? Because when you fast and you pray, you are not fasting and praying for yourself. You are praying for God to move through you to reach other people. That's why you pray and fast. It's not that you pray that, oh God, I pray that you be more righteous. No. The righteousness of God is there. You can pray to be more righteous and fast to be more righteous. But you can pray and fast for God to move through you and reach other people. Amen. So this is what is happening in many instances in this life. There are many issues that surround us, and they look like they can overwhelm us and, you know, just cause the flooding to take place and sweep us away. But we need the right counsel. Counsel can take you from zero to positive. Counsel can move you from there to there. But the wrong counsel can also make you go back. The advances you have made up to here, you can go back because you received the wrong counsel. And instead of going this way, you're going this way. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The way they say that. And you're going backwards, singing, oh, yes. Oh, yes. And everybody's going past you. And you're wondering, why are they going this way? And I'm going this way. Because you're listening this way when you should be listening this way. When you're listening this way, you're going this way. You listen this way, you go this way. Counsel is everything. It determines who we become and who we are in the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's see now another example of counsel. It's in 1 Kings 12.
1 Kings 12. 1 Kings 12. We see another young man there. 1 Kings 12. This is Rehoboam. Now, let me say, Solomon has died. Solomon, there was a servant in his house. His name was Jeroboam. Jeroboam had caused, he rebelled against Solomon because Solomon was a brutal man. So he left for Egypt. Now he's dead. And Rehoboam, Solomon's son, takes over. He becomes king. So people sent word to Jeroboam, told him to come back because people loved that man. So he comes back and Rehoboam is king. And he brings all the people together and goes to Rehoboam the king and tells him, now listen to me. Your father made our life miserable. He made our lives miserable. Now, tell us. We are asking you. You make our lives better, we're going to be your servants. And Rehoboam says, give me 3 days. Give me 3 days. You go. Come back after 3 days. And then he does a smart thing. He goes to the people who are with Solomon. They are advisors of Solomon. They're old people. Thank God for old people. And he asked them, what shall I tell these people? What shall I tell these people? That's in, verse 6, how do you advise me to answer these people? That's Rehoboam asking who? These people. And they spoke to him saying, if you would be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. You see, these people, they gave him the best counsel because they too were seeing Solomon's extremes of power. He knew Solomon was a wise man. He was a wise king. But he also departed God's counsel when he went into idolatry with other women. So he lost some of God's counsel. So these people were looking at it and they were seeing that. So when Rehoboam came to them, they said, wow, chance to redeem Israel now. So they gave him the best counsel they know how. But the Bible says he rejected and he went to the young people he grew with. So let's see what the young people did. Then the young man who had grown up with him spoke to him saying, see what he says here in verse 9. What advice do you give? How should we answer these people who have spoken to me saying, lighten the yoke with your father, put on us. That's verse 9. If you look at verse 6, he was asking the old man, how do you advise me to answer these people? You see, with the old people, there was a demarcation line he drew. He's asking them, how do you advise me to tell these people? But when he went to his peer group, he says, how do we, he says what? Yeah, how should we answer these people? That's in verse, you're helping me, right? 9b, yeah. What advice do you give? How should we answer these people who have spoken to me saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? Then the young man who had grown up with him spoke to him saying, thus you should speak to these people who have spoken to you saying, your father made our yoke how heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. My goodness. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges or scorpions. Some accounts say scorpions. You see, this is what happens. This is a classic example of what happens today. And as you raise your children, I want you to remember this. There is a council of young men in the name of Facebook. You could be two parents fighting your best to give the best counsel to your children. But remember, there is a name of men attitudes, multitudes in the Facebook who give counsel to the same young person, young daughter, young son that you have. So your advice, he either accepts it or he goes to them. And this is what they tell him. Your mother doesn't like you. Your father is a brutal man. That's a dictator. You have to defy him. This is what happens. And you are telling your son or your daughter, you got to make your room. You have to make your room. It has to look neat. You got to do it. And he goes to the internet. My mother is always yelling at me. They call it yelling. My mother is always yelling at me. And the young people tell him, you have to rebel against your mother. You have to answer back at her. You got to tell her it's wrong. You have rights. You have a right to exist. You have a right to be your own man in your own self. In your mother's house? In your father's house? Excuse me? So this is what happens. Rehoboam retreats to his young people, the Facebookers. And they tell him, oh, man, dude, leave those old people alone. They don't know what they're doing. Yeah. They don't know what they're telling you to do what? No, that's wrong. How can they say that? You have to put these people under more bondage to subdue them. Wrong advice. Wrong counsel. You know what happened? Rehoboam was left with one tribe. Judah. And Jeroboam, the servant, went away with the 10 tribes. And the kingdom of Israel has never been the same to this day. It disintegrated that day on the counsel of young men. Young men, listen to me. There is counsel in your mother. There is counsel in your father. There is counsel in your uncle. There is counsel in your aunt. There is counsel in somebody senior than you who has seen better than you. The Facebook friends have not experienced. They have not seen the things your parents have seen. They do not know the things your parents know. They do not understand the terrain of life. They have never been to the trenches of life. They don't know anything about digging a trench, barricading yourself, and lying down and wait for the enemy. They have never been to any war. But they are advising you to ditch school. They are advising you to not to do homework. They are advising you, distracting you from your schoolwork, distracting you from many things. Why are you allowing it? Because you don't listen to your parents. There is no parent in this on this earth to this day who says, I am going to mess up my children. Nobody. I've never seen a parent who says, I'm going to destroy my children. Nobody. Every parent desires the best for their children. They want the best for them. They give the very best. They deny themselves so that they can be better. But there is no parent who says, I am going to make my son's life miserable. I'm going to make my daughter's life a misery on earth. Nobody says that. Every parent desires the best for their children. That's what kids need to know. And the parents can see far because they are standing on the shoulders of their parents. You don't see far because you're not standing on anybody's shoulders. When a parent talks to you today, she or he is standing on the shoulders of the parent behind him. And probably another grandmother. So he is up there looking ahead. You are down there, standing on your own 2 feet, and you're trying to see ahead where that person up there can see. So they tell you, go this way. And you say, no, I'm going to go this way. I can see. I know my way. That's a disaster we have today. And that's something we have to be careful about. So let's move on. We could move on. Can I continue? A little bit more. Now, let's see Proverbs 1:5, what it says. Proverbs 1:5, we'll just pass through there like a hurricane. Or like a tornado. Yeah, we'll just go through there. We're not going to dwell there. 1:5, Proverbs 1:5. 1:5, the hurricane movements. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. It doesn't mean a man is a grown up, is a grown man. It could be a young man. You can gain in understanding by what? By a wise man will hear and increase. See the word there? Hear and increase. If you don't hear, you can't increase. You're going to be going backwards. Let's move on. Proverbs 11:14, another hurricane moment. 11:14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall or they perish. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. This is life, my brothers and sisters. The Bible is talking about life, the life that we face today. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Who are your counselors? Who tells you to say the things you say? Who tells you to do the things that you do? Who gives you advice? Who do you listen to? Because if you listen to the right people, you're going to do the right thing. You're going to end up in the right place. But the wrong people will lead you down the wrong road. And you'll be fighting with your mother day and night. You'll be fighting with your parents day and night. You'll be fighting your kids day and night. Because parents can also be influenced by forces that are destructive. I lock my kids out. They don't stay in the house. That's what some parents will tell you that. Oh, if they do that, I'll kick them out of my house. Okay, you kick them out of your house at 18, at 19, at 20, or at whatever age. They have no way of earning a living. Where are they going to go? If you can't accept them, who will accept them out there? So that's what, the wrong counsel. There are many things parents can also be accused of. It's not only one way that kids have this. Sometimes it's two way. We have to check ourselves. Proverbs 19:20, hurricane moment, 19:20. We're moving on. 19:20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Who has more latter days? The young people or the old people? The young people. So the Bible says if you want to be, to have, if you, 19, it says, we say 19, 20. It says that you may be wise in your latter days. Who doesn't want to be wise in his latter days? Who doesn't? Later days, you need to be wise. The Bible says, listen to counsel. It's not by walking out that you're going to get there. Walking out is good. Thank God for that. It is not by being hip that will take you there. It is by listening to counsel. We are now headed to winding up. And I so much want to finish this today. And then we see Matthew 19, Mark 10, and Luke 18. Jesus, they all talk about Jesus' advice to a rich young man. A rich young man came to Jesus. And this is the only time we see Jesus giving advice. Because he came and asked Jesus, what must I do? To do what? Let's Matthew 19. Hey, Matthew 19, we see that. In verse 16. And behold, one came to him and said, good teacher, what good thing shall I do I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandment. And he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come to follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, God doesn't see us through the counsel of our own life here on earth. God looks at us and he sees us through the eyes of eternity. Amen. God sees us in light of eternity. He doesn't see us in our 70 years here, 80 years, 100 years we're going to live here on earth. He sees us in light of eternity. And this is what Jesus is telling this young man. He's giving him superior counsel. Because today, where is the young man without his riches? He's no more. But he would be in another place if he had listened that day. Because he would have given away his possessions, but attained eternity with Jesus. Maybe he would have suffered a little bit here and there, but eventually he would have died like the rich people. One thing in common, the rich die and the poor die. But where we go determines our destiny, our eternity in God. So this was Jesus advising about a very special thing. Then we see Jesus saying in John 16 and 13. We see now, we are now, John 16. Let's see John 16, what Jesus saying. John 16, verse 13. John, John 16, verse 13. However, he says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Jesus is introducing another human, another perspective into the lives of the believer. He's introducing the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 9:6, the Holy Spirit is called the Wonderful Counselor. Isaiah 9:6. If you read there, don't go there, but that's what it says. He's referred to as the Wonderful Counselor. And Jesus now is promising his disciples the Wonderful Counselor will come. You don't have to feel like you are forsaken because everybody around you does foolish things. No, there is a counsel that the Holy Spirit can guide you to because he is the counselor. He's the Wonderful Counselor. I told you, we did not go and sit down and somebody advised us how to move from Kenya to South Africa and then here. But Holy Spirit in his own divine ways interconnected us with so many things. And I'm sure there are so many things people here with similar stories. You have seen the people in your life, you never went to seek counsel from them. Sometimes it just comes and you don't even know how or why. You find yourself listening to this person. One time, I remember, I was so distressed. I had tried to come to the U.S. when I was in Botswana. I couldn't get a visa. I went back to Kenya, and I still lost. I never got the visa. And then I went to this Indian shop, and I was buying something. And this Indian, out of the blue, tells me, you know, there are some things in this life that we cannot control, but there is something that God, only he can be able to do for us. I don't know what we are discussing, but that's what he told me. I mean, I would have to be blind not to see God in that Indian. I would have to be blind. If you think God can only speak through the Christian brothers that you fellowship with, you are mistaken. God will use the heathen to talk to you. He can use anybody to talk to you. He is not limited by anything. Because that time I was thinking, is it wise to continue looking for a visa in Kenya? Do I pay again and wait for another time and appear before the visa counselor? Or do I go back to Botswana? I was in that kind of dilemma. And then this Indian says, some things you don't push for them. Because there is only God who can be able to do them. If you can even push for them, if it's not their time, they will not happen. I'm telling you exactly what he told me. And I'm not asking him about my situation. I had not told him anything. And I looked at him and I said, God, you have spoken. The next day, I boarded my flight. I went back to Botswana. I told my wife I didn't get a visa. I missed the visa. I went there dejected with my head high. You know, I missed. They didn't give me. But you know what? I'm going to go there. I'm going to go. I don't know how. And that's when this Malawian friend came into my life with information how to apply for a green card when I was in Africa. I had no clue how to do it. And he is from Malawi. You think Malawi is a backward country? Malawi. My Kenyan brothers were all intellectuals, engineers, doctors, nurses. They surrounded me, but they never gave me any information that helped me. This guy was not even a graduate of any college. He was just a young man who was good in keyboard in the church from Malawi. And I befriended him, and we were talking. And that's how I got the information. And I went home, and I told my wife, you know what? This guy told me this and this and this. And we started the process there and then in 1998. And by 2002, we had our green card. It took 4 years. And yet, I was in Nairobi crying and trying to bribe people and trying to get things. Because in Kenya, so many things happen. To show that I own property in Nairobi. What property do I own in Nairobi? But I had documents to prove that I had things. I owned things in Nairobi. When I owned nothing. I had documents. Because I want to go to America. I paid money for those things. They got me nowhere. Bad counsel. Wrong counsel. Takes you nowhere. Good counsel takes you somewhere. The counsel of an Indian. Sometimes I just look at that and I just laugh, you know. When I remember how we struggled to come here and how we ended up here, I just laugh. I just say, God, you are there. If nobody believes it, I believe you are there. I wouldn't be here. If you are not there, I wouldn't be here. And I ended up in Bible school. And you know, even going to Bible school, it was another council. There was this guy in the church. The church I went to had about 300 people. There was this guy, after service, he would sit with people and teach them the principal doctrines of Christ. The ones you saw me teaching here, I learned it from somewhere. So I went one time after I observed how he was teaching, and I thought, I can teach this thing. So I went and said to him, you know what? Brother Bannerman, he was from Ghana. Brother Bannerman, I want to help you in this class so that we can teach together. And he looked at me, and he had some glasses, and he kind of, he looked at me like this and said, maybe you need to take the classes yourself first. Can you believe? Do you know what that can do to you? You are so hyped up, you want to help. High up there, you know? And then the council comes, go down there. Sometimes you can say, no, I offered to help them, they didn't help me, and you walk away. You know? You can do that. But something inside me told me, listen to this man. And I told him, yes, I'm willing to go through the classes. And then he said, okay, meet me on Sunday after service. I'm going to go one-on-one with you. I will not have any other students. That's how I started my long journey into ministry. I listened to counsel. At that time, I would have said, what? You think I can't teach these things? You're just looking at the Bible and you're teaching them. I can teach also. But counsel will take you down before you move up sometimes. The counsel is not always positive. You don't always hear the things you want to hear. Sometimes you hear things you don't want to hear. But your capacity to hear can determine the outcome of tomorrow. And that's how I ended up in ministry. Still, things I never arranged. I never planned. And from there, teaching the believers' classes, I ended up in the Bible school. And from Bible school, doing other things there, ministry things, ended up teaching in the Bible school. You know, and today there are many pastors who are grateful that I taught them. They have big churches in Botswana, Zimbabwe, Zambia, South Africa. They still call me during the term. You are our daddy. Why don't you come over? And we start something like annual thing. I told them, no, I'll come when my time comes. You see, all these things happen because counsel. You listen to counsel. Sometimes you think you are where you are because you don't have
the right education. Or you don't have the right staff. Or you don't have what it takes. No, no, no. You have what it takes. You need the right counsel. That's all you need to be successful. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 4:5, I'm now winding up. For 1 Corinthians 4:5. 1 Corinthians 4:5. The Bible says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes to judge, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Because God will tell you the counsels that you have in your hearts. There are many counsels in your life. That's why sometimes you say, do I put on the blue or the green? The blue. You know, you're holding counsel within yourself. And you end up choosing the blue on your own. Do I call so and so? Do I not call? All our phone rings. Do I pick it up? Do I not pick it up? And you look at the phone like this. Do I pick it up? Counsels are taking place in your life. That time you are listening, you know who it is. Already you know who it is. And you can know why they are calling before you even pick up the phone. And you decide, no, 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 I'm not picking it up. And you let it go. Counsels. What do I do with so and so? It's a counsel within yourself. What do I go this way? Do I go that way? Do I do this thing for this person? Do I send this money to this kid? Or do I not send this money to this kid in Kenya? You know, there are counsels. Every time we have counsels. I'm going to start this rumor about this person. I hate this person. Those are counsels within yourself. Nobody can dig them deeper. Nobody can know that. And you go and you call somebody and you say, you know, I heard so-and-so has done this and this. And that's how a rumor starts. But it started in your counsel, in your heart. And then it spreads all over the place. And somebody's character is assassinated from that. And then, you know what the Bible says? He will come to judge those counsels. You have the motive that you have about people. You have bad motives about people. You judge people prematurely. You continue judging them. But the Lord will come and he will judge you rightly. And you shall praise him. That's why the Bible says, and everyone's praise shall come from him. That's when you fall on your knees, you tell God, I surrender. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are he who is, and who is to come. And you have come. I surrender unto you. Because you'll hear things you imagined about other people. You'll hear things you judged other people for that are not true at all. But you think they are true. They are not. Those are counsels in your heart. Sometimes we call it discernment. I discern something wrong here. No. You are thinking and you are receiving counsel from your spirit. And you are seeing something wrong. There's nothing wrong there. And you start doing things that are wrong from your wrong counsel. That's not right. And Jesus will come and judge you for that. What are you going to say? Are you going to say, well, I thought I had right. Well, you murdered somebody. You can kill somebody just like that. Because you speak the wrong things. Counsels from your heart. Amen. Let's come to the last scripture. 1 Corinthians 1:24. 1 Corinthians 1:24. 1 Corinthians 1:24, right? But to those who are called, amen, we are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, amen. That is where we are. To those who are called, both Jews and Greeks,
Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. And that is he who has called us. That is he who is in our lives. That is the power we have that we can access on a daily basis. That is the wisdom that we can access on a daily basis. Through the Holy Spirit, the wonderful counselor, we can receive the wisdom of Christ. And that's what we need in this life. Because there are so many trenches. There are so much darkness around us. There are so many things that surround us. We don't see right. We don't know whether it is the right thing. But as long as we are in Christ, as long as we understand it is him who has called us, and as long as we understand he is the power of God and the wisdom of God, we shall be wise in this life. You don't need to have a PhD to succeed in this life. You need to have the wisdom of God and the power of God, because the power of God guides you through life. There are so many storms that will come your way. If you are not attached to God, you will be swept away. But if you have God as the anchor of your life, and power of Christ reigns through you, and the wisdom of Christ gives you every kind of counsel that you need, you will succeed. Amen. I want to thank God for this moment, because I know he has called us this morning. Let's rise up on our feet. Let's rise up on our feet. This morning, I want you. God is interested in your life. God has brought you into this place at this time to hear what you have heard. And God wants to continue to be the power and the wisdom in your life. You have faced many storms before, and you will face still more storms to come. But remember one thing: Christ, the power of God, Christ, the wisdom of God, reigns supreme in your life. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful this morning for your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for your message. I have delivered it, mighty God, the way you have given it to me. And I thank you, Father, for I know to do and to will is up to you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, our guider and our leader and our teacher through our truth and understanding. As I leave this place at this time, I surrender unto you. And I thank you, Father. Even as I surrender unto you, I surrender the whole of this congregation into you. And I ask you, Father, to be the guide and the teacher to our truth and understanding in so many ways. May your wisdom reign supreme in this place. May your counsel reign supreme in this place. And may your power never depart from this place. Father, I thank you and I worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you so much this morning. It has been a pleasure being with you and sharing the word of God. And I thank God for this moment. Thank you so much, Pastor. Yes.